was an unknown wilderness. It wasn't long before they went into the wide valleys of Kentucky, through the Cumberland Gap.
Welcome to this edition of Old Kentucky Tales, the only podcast that solemnly swears that none of its participants have ever used deer sinews as fiddle strings. Today's title is A Very Special Old Kentucky Christmas Special. I am your host, Brent Taylor, Assistant Professor of History at West Kentucky Community and Technical College. And with me is the man who has successfully avoided the naughty list for 3 years running. He is an Associate Professor of Communication at West Kentucky Community and Technical College, Jason Donner.
You mean the Christmas? The naughties.
It's our very first ever Christmas
very
special.
Very first Christmas, yeah. Okay.
How cool is that?
No, it is good. Hopefully people aren't burnt out by the time they listen to this thing.
No. They just started it back on October 15th, so I think we're going to be good.
Okay.
That's when the Christmas season officially begins now, yes. It used to be after Thanksgiving, but now it's October 15th. In this episode of Old Kentucky Tales, our main event will examine a story that claims to be the oldest Christmas tale in Kentucky history. We will also hear History According to Children in our Kids' Storian segment. And along the way, don't forget to support the fake history sponsors who support Old Kentucky Tales. The products are real, only the sponsorship is fake.
Office machine stands make good Christmas gifts. We have a nice selection, and your businessman will appreciate this very nice gift. Check us out at Wilson's on Broadway.
This has the smell of desperation all over it, Jason. Office machine stands make good Christmas gifts? This thing looks like the thing that your printer is supposed to go on.
It is, if they had printers then.
Yeah,
right. It is just a rolling cart with legs. What a thoughtful idea. Here's some square metal.
Well, here's the thing. So we had Christmas gifts in the last episode, too. Would you rather receive the replacement coffee machine bowl or this desk thingy?
I don't know. What was the bowl? You mean the coffee machine?
Coffee maker replacement bowl.
Bowl thing?
Yeah. It was a coffee maker replacement bowl.
I think this is fine. I can put my typewriter on it.
Yeah.
Or my...
That's the right era.
My mimeograph.
Yeah, your Rolodex?
You can roll it around wherever you need to.
Oh, you could have a rolling Rolodex.
That's true.
Now, how pre-cell phone would that be, right? If you had a rolling table with a Rolodex on it.
Uh-huh.
And you just take it with you.
The phone is corded, so...
You could roll it from phone to phone.
It's a wire.
That's why you would need it. You've got one phone over here in this room. Right. You've got the other phone over there in that room, and you roll the Rolodex on this table between the two.
Like back then, whatever office machine existed, they were big, heavy metal things. And so you would want like one big thing actually to roll it around on.
And that
there's probably
would be
one
this.
Typewriter in the whole office.
Yeah. Do you know we did that in my elementary school? There used to be one VCR.
Yeah.
And one television.
Oh, sure. They rolled it around.
And they rolled it down the whole hall, like on this gigantic cart. It was like a 7-foot cart.
Yeah. They'd say, hey, go get the TV.
That's right.
Did they do that?
That's the exact
We're
way
sounding
it used
more
to
and more like old people that graduated like in Little House on the Prairie. I won't start talking about that again.
The technology makes you seem that way, though.
Really good episode of Christmas. Little House on the Prairie. But again,
was there?
I won't talk about it. But yeah, they'd say, go get the TV.
Yeah, that's how it used to work.
Yeah, we're going to watch TV. Go roll it down here.
I think so. That was a kid's job, too. And speaking of that, it's time for the cutest segment in the history of history podcasts.
Historians. I think it's like an old wooden house with people living in it and villagers.
Oh,
and they're sitting in the bench, and there's some stairs right there.
A log cabin. They're living in a log cabin.
And there's a lot.
Two old people living in a log cabin.
Nice. What's this thing?
A lock.
It looks like a clock.
And what do you think about their outfits?
They're not really fancy. The man's wearing overalls, and the lady's just wearing a plain skirt.
This was a 19th century log cabin that they were looking at. And yeah, I thought they did a great job identifying it as a log cabin. And there was no clock, though.
No.
Do you see what he thought was the clock?
Sort of. The bucket?
It's a wash tub.
Yeah.
So that is sort of like our washing machine and our bathtub and our kitchen sink.
They just hung it out on the outside wall.
Yeah, but you probably don't
need to do a good scrubbing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. This old tattered couple. They're actually 20 and 22 years old. That's just how it looked back then.
That's probably not
far from
the truth.
You just looked bad back then.
I think so. And he mentioned overalls there. Overalls were basically like Kentucky's unofficial uniform for men, going back to the late 19th century, early 20th century. And that's exactly what he's got on.
It looks like it's about to collapse if anybody steps off that porch.
It probably was going to.
They're all sitting on one side like, someone's got to be on that side because it's all going if we take any weight off. They just stacked like rocks underneath it.
Yeah, instead of more support.
I guess that's a cellar.
It looks like that's probably what it is down there.
I don't see mortar. I don't see anything holding it together.
No, it's stacked rocks. That's pretty crazy.
That's a little scary.
It's very scary. This thing was built in 1840. The picture is a little bit later than that.
Yeah.
But the actual log cabin dates back to 1840.
Okay. So they got a fixer-upper then around the time of photography.
That's their starter house. You know?
Brent, you know what this reminds me of?
Your first house? It looks a whole lot like my first house. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, Little House on the Prairie, of course.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it? Because it's a little house and they're in the frontier. Okay.
I like that they look like they're behind a giant hill or mountain or something. That's a good idea. Just so the wind doesn't get your house and just whip it away.
It's probably out of necessity.
It's in the holler.
For the location. I think you're probably 100% right. And now it's time for the moment we've all been waiting for.
The main event.
Round one. Welcome to Kentucky's first Christmas party. That's our main event today, Jason. At least it purports to be that. I've actually read a couple of things that mentioned Christmas that were a little bit older than this story, but maybe it's the first party.
Right.
Where they can still say that it's the first. But it is pretty old. The story itself dates to the 18th century, so that's taking you back a ways. And
takes place in Kentucky, you
takes
mean.
Place in Kentucky, Kentucky's okay, first Christmas story.
Right.
Of course, the first Christmas story would be in the Middle East, right?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's hard to pinpoint. If there were people, there was a Christmas party somewhere.
Yeah. So this is supposed to be Kentucky's
first
Christmas
party. This is in the literature, party, so to speak.
Yeah. And here's where the story picks up. When General George Rogers Clark had conquered the British and Indians in their stronghold in the Illinois country, he felt it safe for the few families he had left on Corn Island near the Falls of the Ohio, that's Louisville, to remove to the mainland and so ordered that a fort be built there. Doesn't that have an in the beginning kind of feel?
And then you've got to the mainland.
Yeah. Rows of log cabins, just like the one we mentioned earlier, joined together around a hollow square constituted this structure. And they used to call those stations in Kentucky history. And you might have seen towns back east named Bryant Station or something like that.
Okay, so just like the square, I guess? Log cabins?
Yeah. At one corner, there was a cabin, double the size of the others, that was to serve as a storeroom. In this building took place the first Christmas dinner and dance in Kentucky, as far as any record shows. The men ranged the forest and brought home rabbits, turkeys, deer, bears, and buffaloes. Now, that's kind of interesting, right? You don't really think of bears being right. in Kentucky, but we used to have them.
Yeah.
And if you look way back, the oldest diaries and so forth show where they were killing bears.
Really?
Bear baiting was a thing.
Uh-huh.
That is an old school leisure activity where you tie up a bear and then you set like six or seven dogs on the bear. And then the object.
Everybody was so nice back then.
Yeah. So the
dogs were attacking the bear. The bear
correct.
Was the victim in this situation.
The bear is the victim. And then the bear becomes dinner because then they'll have a barbecue.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
That's what they used to do.
So just shredded bear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay.
The women baked corn pone, hoe cake, and Johnny cake. And I will tell you one thing about this, Jason. If you Google those three things,
it's the same thing.
It's all the same thing. Okay. So, but there's like slight variations in it. It would be kind of like...
It's a pancake. No?
Yeah, it'd be like, oh, yeah, it's like a corn pancake. That's okay. Exactly what it is. Very slight variations gives them the different names.
Okay. This sounds terrible already.
I don't know. I kind of like cornbread. I mean, I could do it. Boiled and fried hominy. Now, right there, I'm out.
Yeah.
I can't do the hominy thing.
That's tough.
You know, one time, the first time I ever tried hominy, I actually did not mean to try it.
Yeah.
I thought it was creamed corn.
Uh-huh.
And I got a big old spoonful, and I was at somebody else's house, you know, so I was like...
I thought it was creamed corn.
It's hominy? Not quite creamed corn.
Is it grits?
It's corn-like. I can't even really explain it.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, we've eaten them. I don't.
Yeah, I haven't eaten them.
You've never eaten grits?
No,
really.
I thought it was chopped up corn. I don't know, baby corn.
I don't know.
I'm throwing off your whole.
It's something good.
Okay.
I don't think you would dislike them though.
Yeah, I thought it was paste.
It's pasty. I don't know. It's kind of one of those things. If you don't, it's hard to describe it, right?
I know hominy grits goes together, those two words.
Okay. And prepared milk, butter, and cheese. Forks were driven into the earthen floor of the storehouse. On rough, unhewn, uncovered boards, laid above poles stretched between the forks, the feast was served. So this must be more like pitchforks.
Yeah.
And they've stuck the pitchforks down, and they've put a table on top of the pitchforks.
I guess.
And the pitchforks are like the legs holding up the table.
Yeah.
That appears to be what's going on here.
If anything these people have, it's wood laying around.
That's all they've got.
Just
they've
build
got,
a table.
It's a vast forest.
Yeah.
In the 18th century.
So they got some meat. Oh, yeah. They got the deer meat.
Yeah. Oh, they've got all kinds of meat. That meat is one thing they've got there. Wooden platters held the meats. Wooden plates, the bread, and wooden bowls, the hominy. So once again, your theme of all they've got is wood.
Oh gosh,
and corn. Is coming through. Yeah, wood and corn. They've got plenty of both. You can have your fill of either here at our first Christmas party. The centerpiece that decorated the table and proved the great dish of the banquet was an opossum, baked whole, hanging by its tail on stick of wood, which was suspended over the center.
Right, with some corn in its mouth.
Dun, 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 possum.
This is exactly how every Christmas was for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't have the family Christmas possum?
Hanging upside down.
Just right there in the middle of the room.
Possum pie.
The fiddler of the fort. An old African-American named Cato, as well as every man, woman, and child, had been downcast for some time because the fiddle had only one string left. Now, you don't think about this. Now, I know I've got a guitar, and it's a real annoyance when the string breaks.
Yeah.
But I do live in an era when I can replace the string rather easily.
What if you had one string, and like every time you touched it, you were worried?
Bing. Yeah, I mean, you get to where you couldn't play the darn thing.
He played the heck out of that one string.
He's pretty good for only having one string.
This would be a problem. That's the only music they have, though.
Yes, that's an excellent point. We don't have radio. We don't have podcasts. We don't have anything like that.
No, I mean, they couldn't really do anything.
It has to be live music, and the musician has got one string. Patient Cato had tried horsehair and deer sinews, but no music could thus be made. So he was going for plan B. He thought, okay, I've got a long thing
put
I could tie on here.
Yeah.
But it's not the same thing as having the actual string. Fortunately, on Christmas Eve, it was a Christmas miracle, Jason. A small boat landed near the fort, and on it was a Frenchman with a violin. It did not take Cato long to inquire if the musician had any strings he would sell. Learning that he had, Cato joyfully exchanged raccoon strings for the coveted strings.
No, wait, raccoon skins.
Oh, skins.
You said.
Yes, yeah. Raccoon skins.
Okay. So he
for
got some
the
actual
coveted strings.
Violin strings, not
yeah,
some
actual
made up thing.
Honest to goodness,
okay.
They make music strings.
Okay.
and gave the stranger an extra skin to tell nothing about the trade.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's going to be a surprise.
Yes.
Cato was intending to give the settlers a great surprise. Alas, the traders from the boat being invited to the feast, the Frenchman happened to speak of an accident to his fiddle, whereupon he was besieged with requests to get his instrument and play so they could dance. He just mentioned it in casual conversation. Wait, you have a violin?
Oh, okay.
You know, oh, yeah. You got to play this stuff.
Is this the same guy that gave him the strings?
It was.
And so the guy that...
He's passing through.
He's
yeah.
like, I'll just take away all his thunder. Okay.
That's exactly... This is the first ever stolen thunder in Kentucky history.
You go surprise everybody. Yeah. By the way, I'm better than you.
That's he reluctantly yielded. The table was cleared away. The older people and the children ranged themselves around the walls, and the younger men and women impatiently waited on the smooth dirt floor until the music began. The Frenchman tried in vain to teach the fashionable dances of his homeland to the backwoods boys and girls.
I thought this might happen. See, he wasn't better because they don't want to hear that guy. They want Cato.
They really do, and he's trying to teach them like all this fancy stuff.
Right.
And of course, this is Kentucky.
Yeah.
We don't want any fancy stuff. Get it out of here,
French.
Buddy. Yeah, ho ho ho! Listen to my songs, and they're like, "Nah, I don't think so.
No,
not quite for us." At last, becoming discouraged and disgusted, he retired in a rage. And how stereotypically French does that sound? He
yes.
retired in a rage, like, you uncultured sobs. You
yes.
know, we're out of here.
Well, he's kind of right.
What? So the complaint department is Jason.Donner.
I just take
at kctcs.edu.
You did the accent. I'll take whatever the side you don't.
All right, then. Cato approached him and politely asked if he might play while his honor rested. He was told to play on. Yeah, go ahead. Do it, buddy. Soon, to the music of old Cato's fiddle, the boys and girls were making merry by dancing the Virginia Reel. Not till the midnight hour did either the dancers or the fiddler weary or pause.
Mm-hmm. Then they tied up the guy and let the dogs
No, the bear. The bear.
You.
Not the Frenchman.
Oh.
The bear.
Well, you
bear
finish
baiting.
The story.
Not to... And now you know the rest of the story. And now you know it's probably time to pay some bills around here.
Yeah. Let me start thinking about that thing. What is it? The
you're,
takeaway.
Yeah, you better get ready.
I'll probably just sing.
It happens right after this.
Okay.
Get your Christmas whiskey from S. Stark. If you are not pleased with my goods, I want you to return them. Boxes, bottles, and jugs furnished free. $2 of rye or bourbon, best on earth for the money. 120 South 2nd Street, big blue barrel, middle of the block. You cannot miss it.
There you go. You gotta have, make merry. It's right there in the phrase. You make merry Christmas with some little bit of whiskey.
If you will remember, one of our very first episodes
uh-huh.
was home cooking and home remedies.
Oh, I've got them all cataloged.
We had that recipe for eggnog in there.
That's right.
And there was an ungodly amount of alcohol
yeah.
in that. I mean, it was, you want to talk about grandma ran over the reindeer level.
Yeah.
I mean, it was off the charts how much alcohol was in there.
Well,
and you can see
wanna...
right here. Yeah. Here's your Christmas whiskey.
This is kind of a neat little part at the bottom of the ads. Better than imported La Afamada Havana cigar.
Yeah, because
later
in 1898,
right.
a Havana cigar is totally legal.
Totally legal.
But then if you get into the 20th century, completely
right.
illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you could have had a Havana cigar right here in Kentucky.
Sure, why not?
Perfectly legal in 1898. And then I guess we've come full circle on that, haven't we? It's probably legal again, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think something like
always,
that relaxation
what,
of
yeah,
the...
Yeah, it's always illegal. You can't have those Havana cigars.
Yeah, it was. And I think...
Don't smoke, though.
Oh.
Put that out, Brent.
It's not...
Put it out.
So that's interesting. Like, is the coolness of the cigar, does that outweigh like the illegality versus the health thing? Like,
well,
how do you know what's cool there?
A whole
there?
Lot of things like that. But yeah, now, if it is legal, then it's like, it's not that big a deal. The Cuban cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
If it's legal, then you're just, who cares?
According to what I see on TV.
And now for Jason's takeaway.
That was a Christmas episode?
The thing that he learned. Yes, everything about that was Christmas. We had a Christmas tale. We had Christmas ads.
We had some office furniture.
That was a Christmas gift. It was passed off as a Christmas gift.
Right.
It sure was.
Uh-huh. And now I'll begin my Christmas story that I always tell. I'm just kidding. I won't do that. The little nutcracker.
Do you have one?
No.
I thought you were bluffing.
That's a some old thing. I don't know, Brent. So what have we done here? This is the end of the fourth season. By now, people are listening to this. I've listened to all of them consecutively. That only makes sense.
Binge listen.
Right. What's in the future, Brent?
The
Where are we headed with this?
Will be
the 90s.
Season 5.
I know that.
Season 5 is the future.
What's it going to be
Ten
about?
10 more episodes.
Aren't we done with history?
No, there's always more
Let's
history.
Make this science, please.
The old Kentucky experiments. Is that where we're going with this?
Yeah. It just keeps going on. Somebody 150 years from now will make a stupid commercial about this podcast, right?
That would be very postmodern. We have
it'd
now
be
turned.
Very meta. Very meta.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
Wait a minute.
We
what?
Have now turned to the final chapter. But never fear, Brent is having a nervous breakdown. Old Kentucky Tales will return.
Of course it will. You can download all of those episodes on iTunes or the NPR One app. If you like what you hear, please leave a review or rate us. If you did not like what you heard, well, too bad for you. Special thanks to our producer, Todd Birdsong, the Paducah School of Art and Design, and WKMS, and the rest is history.
Oh, I get that now.